Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list: teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Welcome to a very, very special episode of Killing Time, hosted by two girls.
Two parentals.
Two
Vanics.
Two very
three Vanics.
Old people.
No.
So we're sitting here in our new office with my parents, May. Hello. Yay. Say hello.
Hello, honey.
And my dad, Bill.
Hey, what's up there?
There you go, Bill.
This is, Mom, this is your second podcast that you've done. You did one episode of Lady Gang years ago. And it was so cute.
Oh,
and this is Dad's first podcast.
Hey, apparently I didn't count before.
But my dad has been like kind of podcasting for his work. He's been doing like video conference kind of things.
Bill.
With a microphone and all
it's,
that kind of
like
stuff.
It's like the Vanek tradition, I guess, now.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's learning to be like, you know, natural on a microphone.
Honestly, you seem like a natural.
No, like, Darren would have been a great like host because
he's deep voice.
And he's a very
eloquent.
Yes, speaker. Yes,
and totally. Charismatic. Dad.
And pretty handsome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, no, he has the vibe where, you know, I talk fast because I'm not thoughtful about what I say.
Yeah.
He is deliberate about what he says. Bill is deliberate, if nothing else, right, Bill?
Absolutely.
My dad actually, Dad, you were a DJ in college, so like he could have.
Is this true?
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, I was a DJ.
Yeah, tell us about your DJ experience.
Well, when I was in college, I was on the world-renowned Alfred FM station that had a listening audience of about 3.5 people.
So, honestly, yeah. That's not bad.
And he was spinning like Led Zeppelin before they were big, right?
Yeah, well, I actually discovered there's a band you may have heard of called Queen.
Sure,
I actually discovered them before they became big.
So. Look at you.
Oh, it was Queen that you were spinning before they were big.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've seen the record collection that you passed. Well, you're still here, but you've lent that Jack has in her possession. I didn't want to say bequeathed because here you are, you know?
Yeah, he has. My dad has like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of amazing records from back in the day that I have acquired and haven't played in a very long time.
My record player broke. My ex-boyfriend took it back for me. It was his.
And I like how you just completely lied.
I thought it broke because I was like, where is it? And then I was like, it was taken away.
As it is.
Yeah.
We're so happy to have you guys here.
We are very happy to be here.
This is going to be such a fun episode. What are you laughing about?
Hopefully it will be fun.
It's going to be so much fun. Are you kidding? We have fun just the two of us. Just adding two more Vanics. Are you joking?
Literally just adding anybody. We're like, this is the best party ever.
And honestly, it's not like I'm a random friend. Like, I know you guys so well that it's just like, this feels like another, this is what we did last weekend. We all went out together.
So, yeah, for anybody listening, my parents are my best friends in the entire world. I hang out with them an embarrassing amount all of the time. I talk to my parents every single day.
Yep.
So Alexis knows them very well. They're like your second parents, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I've known you for 15 years.
Yeah.
So like, I've known you guys a long time.
We really,
you'll definitely be coming to my wedding.
Well, we really feel bad because sometimes Jacqueline will go, come on with us. And we'll go, do you really want us to go?
Always yes.
I know you really want us to go, but do your friends yes! want us to yes! go with you?
Dude, there are so many times.
You guys are the people's parents.
Yeah, there are so many times that we have like a girl's day or something. And I'm like, yeah, come to Malibu Cafe. Like the girls are going. And my mom's like, does anybody else know that you're inviting your parents right. to a friend's day? And I was like, they don't care.
No one cares. We're adults now. We could be parents. We're just putting that off for as long as possible. We could be parents ourselves.
Right. Like the last time when Jacqueline calls us up and goes, come to the boat. Matt invited us to the boat. And I'm like,
Does he?
Yeah. Does he really yeah. want us to go? You have all these people going. Yes. Why does anybody want us to go?
Wasn't it fun?
It was really fun.
It's so fun. Yeah. He always means it. Matt's like a, you know, a communal boat person.
Yeah. And you guys are a good time.
Well, Dad and Matt have a special bond.
Yes.
Well, yeah, as in James Bond.
Yeah.
You know what I'm referring to, right?
No. Well, yes and no. But what I will say is that I remember when you guys first got to hang with Matt a little bit. And I think me, May, and Jack had a moment at some point where I'm like, he's a Bill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Jared and Matt are Bills.
Yeah.
And everyone like is looking for their Bill because Bill will, you'll have a great life with a Bill. You'll be happily ever after with a Bill.
Right.
Yeah. And they were so excited because like I found my Bill.
It's true.
That means I'm done.
No.
You know?
Yes.
It's true. Everybody is trying to find their Bill Vanek.
We gave Matt our stamp of approval.
The Bill Vanek original stamp of approval.
Yes.
He's Bill number three now.
Yes.
He's Dad's clone.
Dad, how does it feel to be the original Bill?
That's kind of hard to comment on. I mean, compared to what? Right.
You're the
unoriginal.
Everybody is looking for their Bill, you know?
Yeah.
You're like the aspirational like family man.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cool with both of you guys, with Jared and Matt. They're both awesome guys. So we love being around them, and they're all part of the family.
Yeah, look
Dad's
at
going to start crying.
I'm on the brink of tears myself.
Jesus Christ.
Frankly, I'm a big sap.
Okay, we won't be so deep.
My dad is like the sappiest person in the entire
worse
world.
Worse than
tears
me?
In his eyes.
Worse than me?
Honestly, yes.
No.
No, I'm like, the second my parents, both of you are pretty sappy. I'm like, if you even give him a question about me, my dad will start crying. It's not even a sad question or like a sappy question. He'll right. just start.
Do you have a tell? My dad, he is too. My dad's nostrils will start flaring. I'm like, I'm sorry I asked. I'm sorry I said anything. Because he'll be like, he's trying to hold it in because he's like a man.
Yeah. No, my dad's not afraid to shed a tear.
Nope, he's not.
Nope, not at all.
And neither is Matt.
No.
And that's what makes him a good Bill.
Exactly. Okay. So should we get into this episode?
Yes.
Well, my parents listen to my podcast, so you know how it goes. We're going to start with the dark day, right?
Yes.
Are you guys ready to hear the dark day for today?
Please tell me.
Okay. So today is September 29th. And in September 29th of 1982, cyanide-laced Tylenol pills killed 7 people.
I remember this.
I was going to say, do you guys remember this happening? It was before we were even born. Do you remember, Dad?
Oh, yeah. It was a pretty scary time. Seriously.
It was a really scary
time. Were you a Tylenol user?
Yes.
Everybody was,
so
right?
What did you do? Like, throw them away and go for Motrin?
You just didn't buy them.
Poor Tylenol. They really took a hit, huh?
They really... Everybody thought at that time that Tylenol was done and they were going out of business and nobody would ever buy it again.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, you underestimate the monopolies of this world.
Well, do you know who owns Tylenol? It's Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
So they weren't going anywhere.
No.
No.
So,
the other thing that happened was that was like the beginning of, you know, that ultimate scare, and then that really prompted having to come up with, you know, different packaging, you know, with seals and all this other kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, like tamper-proof.
Well, that's exactly what it was. Like after all of that happened, they had to completely rethink their packaging and whatever. But should I go through kind of the summary of the story?
Please.
Yes.
Okay, so on September 29th of 1982, Mary Kellerman, she was 12 years old from Elk Grove Village, Illinois, died after taking a capsule of extra strength Tylenol. Then Adam Janus died in the hospital later that day after ingesting Tylenol, and his brother Stanley and sister-in-law also died later that day from taking the same Tylenol from the same bottle. Within a few days, Mary McFarland, Paula Prince, and Mary Reiner all died by taking Tylenol at the same time. So basically what happened is these people were all in like the same Chicago area, but they traced back the bottles of Tylenol and they're made from different facilities. So they're like, it's not anybody from the facilities that is like putting cyanide laced pills in there, because they tested the pills and there's cyanide in these. So they basically were like, it's happening after the fact.
So people are getting them from the store, buying them, taking them home, putting them back on the shelves.
Exactly. Or I don't know if he was doing it in there. They never caught the guy. To this day, the person that was doing it was never caught.
Wait, I It wasn't like a family member that was covering up another murder?
No.
Oh, I thought it
dun,
was.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, what story are you thinking of? No,
but I've actually heard of that. I think people tried it way later. It was like a decade or so later or something. People tried to be like, oh, I think there was an offshoot crime where someone trying to murder their spouse was like, it must have been one of these lace cyanide Tylenols.
So they just like poisoned a lot of different people, but they really wanted to kill their family.
But they were copycats.
This is a different thing. There was a lot of copycat murders or like copycat people trying to do this like in the later years. But this specific thing, they never found the culprit of it.
That's crazy.
Ever. And so there was a nationwide recall of Tylenol products that was issued on October 5th of 1982. And there was an estimated 31 million bottles that were in circulation. And that had a retail value of over $100 million, which is an equivalent of $281 million in 2021 that they had to like pull off the shelves, which is fucking crazy.
That is nuts.
Johnson & Johnson can afford it.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially now.
I mean, no, it's just very sad that children were affected in three members of a single family. Like, and they never, I didn't realize they never caught the culprit.
I didn't either.
No,
they
never did.
I would die. Like, if that happened to my child and no one ever paid, I don't know how people go on.
There was a really interesting series that I think True Crime Garage did about this that I listened to. And it was kind of going into like the psychology of like why somebody would do that. I feel like it's kind of the same thing as arson almost
to
in a
create
sense.
Chaos.
Yeah. And you're like, you're that. Watching the news and you're seeing what happens and you're not like directly involved with something, but you're like seeing how it's affecting people from afar. Like that's like a sick.
Or it's like when killers will go to the vigils of the people they kill. It's like this exhibitionism in a very, it's like this voyeuristic sort of thing where you like to see people, like you like to see the chaos you caused.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was really like the original terrorist act, you know, seriously.
So
it was like, everybody.
It was a mass murder.
Well, everybody was just frightened beyond belief. It'd be like, oh my gosh, what's next? You know, and it was sort of like looking in the shadows for the next, you know, horrific type of, you know, poisoning. It was crazy times. It really was.
Right. Because there's nothing like safer than opening a bottle of Advil, right? Like you don't expect to, and then you start to look at other, if it's like, oh, they're just tampering with whatever's on the shelves, these people pick Tylenol, but it could have been any bottle of Advil or any bottle of anything.
Or food. Back in the day, I mean, was that before they were putting any sort of things on food either?
Right. So everything wasn't sealed up like it was today.
So like cereal boxes just had cereal in it without a bag?
No, I think it had a bag.
I'm like, how?
They just threw cereal at you when you bought it.
How, like, how fucking grassroots was this?
Back in those days, we used to go to the grocery stores and we
would take handfuls of cereal out of a bag.
No, we'd take a handful, put it in the cereal in our pocket and walk out. Yeah, exactly.
No, but honestly, that's how, you know those stores that they're opening up where it's like, hey, there's no waste. You like take... You take like, you know, this
like it's Sprouts.
What is the thing called?
The scooper?
A bucket, a scooper, like an ice bucket scooper.
Items.
Yeah. Bulk items in your own bags. It's like, how do I know someone's not going to put like a ninja star in the cereal vat?
It's scary. I mean, it's the same thing with like putting like razor blades in people's
apples.
Like, or
that was
apples.
That's what they said about bobbing like apples for Halloween.
That
like,
was
they
Halloween.
Should,
yeah.
But I think it was a myth. I don't think it was ever true.
That was another big scare.
Yeah. That was like, it's a lot of fear mongering.
It's like a kind of satanic panicky kind of a thing. Not
absolutely.
Like with that kind of, they're just like, it's like a mass scare where this was real. I mean, obviously like seven people died, but it's
No, but I did listen to a podcast that deconstructed actual times candy's been poisoned in actual time. And there was like
none.
They couldn't find any evidence that it was really happening.
Yeah. What a spooky.
The only time it happened, a father did it to his own son.
Well, that's usually how it goes.
To kill his son. And his son died. And then that created the panic.
Yes.
But like, it's never been done by strangers. Because you know what? Strangers don't fucking... They're not going to go buy candy for kids if they want them to die. They're going to be like, I'm not home on Halloween. I'm turning off my lights.
Well, there was... We live in Mission Viejo. And I remember, I don't even know how many years ago it was, but somebody was putting razor blades and... And Mission Viejo is very safe. It's always like one of the safest cities in the country.
Yeah.
But somebody had put in the parks razor blade in the sand.
Ooh.
Oh, they actually did this?
Yes.
At the bottom of the slides.
At the bottom of the slide,
yep.
Bill?
Yep. Absolutely.
So that was a big, huge scare at one time, too.
That they were
Did Jacqueline never go on a slide again?
Did she? We were always there monitoring everything she did.
You wouldn't, like, you, like, move the sand around and you check the sand first.
Dad goes down the slide first to see if it's safe.
Right.
Were you ever scared that I was going to get a or, like, some kind of a poison candy for Halloween?
I think you might have been. No, not the poison candy because you... You know, we checked your candy. It's not like you were eating like unwrapped candy or anything.
Here's an apple from a stranger.
I think that's a bite taken out of it already.
I think the razor blade thing was when you were a little older. So you weren't like playing.
Going down
the
slide.
Right.
I was like a 5-year old.
Right.
Interesting.
But there was a lot of weird kind of stuff like that that happened back then.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of weird stuff happens now too.
But that was like a special kind of weird. When was the Satanic Panic? Was that in the late 80s? Yeah. It was the same kind of weird, I don't know, like spooky 80s.
People love hysteria.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think that's back
times.
Too.
Well, the hysteria, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
the satanic.
There's
stuff
all sorts of hysterias right now that we just got to all move through together.
We're just trying to survive in this world at this point.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I think that was a great dark day.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to come back for On the Stand. Usually we connect our dark day to our True Crime Rewind. But since my parents are here, we're going to do like a special episode of Killing Time. But until then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead, guilty or not guilty?
Okay, so welcome to On the Stand. Every week we're bringing a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand that we're either loving or hating, and then we're going to have a good, healthy discussion and vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And we have 4 people voting today, which is going to be really interesting.
Honestly, this is going to be so good, and I know mine's going to be a winner.
Oh, God. Then we're going to bring it to Instagram, you get a vote, and see if we like are on par with our ideas or not. And yeah, so do you want to go first, since you seem very...
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, just because, again, this isn't like my most divisive topic, because I think everyone will agree with me, but I think I want to get it out there. So I went to dinner last night.
Okay.
And I went with Matt, my boyfriend, and we ordered an order of buffalo cauliflower.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought it, and we had like a big bowl of buffalo cauliflower and like silverware. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where are share plates? So like we all had lunch together last weekend.
Yeah.
Like I want share plates everywhere. I want so many share plates. I want, even if I can just take, like, I like to cut my shit up and dip it in sauce, and I like to do my own little weird thing.
Yeah.
I'm defending share plates in that, I think they should just be a staple on a table like silverware. I think there should even if it's just bread, I want bread on a plate. I want everything on a plate.
Okay.
I want to take a little butter and like the bread, or I want like a little bite of somebody else's thing. Even if they give me a couple fries, I want a plate to put it on. I want share plates all the time.
You want your own personal space when it comes to your food.
Yes. I don't want to eat it like, especially a shared dish where it's like, oh, we have a thing of nachos.
Like a pasta.
Like we're all eating off a nacho plate. Like I want to bring the nachos onto my own plate and then eat them there.
Okay. What do you think, Mom?
Yes, I agree. I like to have a share plate, but then always on your share plate, they're so big. And so you have that giant plate.
They could be smaller. They could be small.
A little dollop of food.
Honestly, share plates should be the size of teacup saucers. They're too big.
Wow.
They're too big.
You're right.
So like share plates, that's all I want. Like I want my own little fry dipping station.
Right.
You know, I don't want to use other people's ketchup. I want like to pour a little ketchup on there so there's no double dipping outside of my realm. I want a saucer size share plate all the time.
Right. We want a miniature share plate.
A miniature one, because the ones they give you are huge.
Too big.
They're almost like a dinner plate. And then you put a little tiny dollop of food on there.
And then you're like sharing four people on a tiny table.
We're creating more work for the kitchen. Like it's true. We shouldn't need these huge plates. But and then when the meals come, there's no room because there's share plates everywhere. We need smaller share plates
exactly.
And we need more of them. More smaller share plates.
I need 5 share plates to myself.
Bill?
I have no comment.
Well, even today we had like breakfast before we came over here. Dad got his own share plate, but then I didn't. So I'm like, And my parent, anybody that
I knew you would agree with me. I knew you all would agree with me.
Anybody yeah. that
especially
eats,
you, May.
Yeah. Anybody that has a meal with me knows that I want to share. There yeah. is not a single time that I go to any single meal and I want my own thing.
You're like, I'm going to have my own chicken piccata. That's literally never happened in the history of Jacqueline
all
eating.
All I want to do is have like a little of a lot of things. Like I love one bite of every single thing. Like I love sharing.
You are a little taster. That's all you want is a little taste of every little thing.
Well, I mean, my idea for my food truck that I want, my one bite food truck is still in the making. Like maybe one day I can fund it. But we went to breakfast earlier today. Dad got a share plate. I was trying to like get a piece of this goopy egg off of our big plate. And I'm like scooping it over to my mouth. It's an over easy egg.
You needed a share plate.
I needed my own share plate, but like it, you know,
there was none to be seen.
To their defense, I didn't ask for one, but it was very messy.
Yeah. And I think the problem is like the conventional restaurant approach is like, you know, can I take
it's
your
not
order?
Share plates.
You know, person number one, what is your order? Person number two, what is your order? It's all focused around individualized orders, not, you know, let's have that shared experience, which, you know, I think we always like that.
That's why we should all be going to Buca di Beppo all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Family style restaurant, I mean, share plates for everyone.
Tapas only.
Honestly.
Tapas only.
This isn't an ad. Buca di Beppo. I haven't been in a long time.
I literally have never been there.
Well, it's family style. That's my point.
Yeah, and it's Italian. You don't really like Italian that much.
She doesn't like pasta.
I like pasta.
Mm. I've never seen
you
pasta.
Not really.
Same. I'm like, every time I've ever suggested pasta in her whole friendship, she's like, I don't like pasta or Mexican food. I'm like,
I just won't be the person that's going to be like, you know what I'm feeling is pasta. Like I'll have a pasta.
You'll have a bite.
I'll have a bite of somebody else's
I'm
pasta.
Not a pasta person either.
It's not good
favorite.
For you.
I mean, neither is most of the things I eat, but they're more delicious in my own mind.
Okay. No, it's good. It's just not something that I pick personally.
Vanix?
Unless it's
guilty?
Not us.
Oh. Or innocent?
This is, I mean, a share plate. Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty as long as it's a small share plate.
Teacup share plates. Maybe that's
not
our new
guilty.
Business.
Not guilty. Okay. Bill, seal of approval.
Seal of approval. Okay. I'll go next.
Okay.
Okay. So today I'm putting on the stand matching outfits.
With who? Who's matching?
Your partner.
Oh, no. I love this. I love this.
So recently, Jared and I went to Hawaii a month or two ago, and this company called Palm Tree Crew, they're like, it's Kygo's company that has all these like fun, whatever outfits.
You love Kygo.
I love Kygo. I'm like so honored that they're sending me free shit, but they partnered with this, this bikini brand called Solid and Stripe. They're making these like palm tree bikinis. They're super, super cute.
I've seen those bikinis.
They're like, do you want one? I was like, yeah. And then I was looking on the website. And I was like, oh my God, they make men's clothing too. So I was like, can you send me this thing? My fiance will wear it.
Influencer Jared.
Yeah. Influencer Jared.
I love it.
He's the only reason I ever go viral. Thank you, Jared. But so they sent me it. I didn't tell Jared that I had the matching thing, but I was like, Jared, you should wear this today. So he puts on this pink palm tree outfit. And then all of a sudden I was wearing a different outfit for half the day. And then I changed into it. I'm like, look what I'm in now.
What did he
now
think?
We're matching. Well, he loves it because I mean, he's going to pretend like he doesn't love it, but he loves it. But I thought it was so cute.
Oh, so you're defending.
I'm defending a matching outfit with your partner. I think that not all of the time, and this is a very slippery slope because I like when
very slippery.
I like when I do it, but I'm sure a lot of people did not think that was cute. I don't like when other people do it. It's kind of like how I like having my feet massaged.
It's self-indulgent.
But I don't want to massage anybody else's feet.
It's self-indulgent, right. And it's like it's kitschy and it's novel. So it's like, hey, I'm on vacation. I'm doing this for a novelty. Like, it's self-indulgent and it feels great for you.
It's cute, but I'm sure everybody else is looking at me being like, this fucking idiot.
This is a very 1990s thing.
Well, this is why I wanted to bring it up in front of you guys, because I feel like you grew up maybe in when you were having kids that a lot of people were matching their outfits
many
to their children.
What I'm sure you did, and I saw this my whole life, Christmas cards every year were whole families in matching sweaters. And I was that family. Like before my parents split up, I was that family too.
But we do that now with Jared.
Well, this is what I said. We do it. Because I buy all the outfits and I'm like, you guys have to wear this fucking outfit on Christmas morning because I need it to make me happy.
Yeah. But that was different though. Seriously.
Well, this is cute. But like we never had matching outfits.
No.
So you guys were definitely not on team matching outfit with your family. We also had a very small family. Obviously, it was just me, but we
and
never
Pugsley.
And Pugsley, but we never did a matching outfit.
No, we never did.
What were your thoughts on it while everybody else was doing it?
I thought it was really stupid.
Why?
Just because it was so back then.
It was
then,
so like Kmart catalog.
It was so like basic.
Yeah.
Basic bitches.
Right.
90s and 80s basic bitches are the best.
But yeah. Then when you look back at the photos now, it kind of looks like
awesome.
Yeah.
Everything vintage is cool though.
Yeah, because it's vintage.
Everything vintage is cool.
It's just like something like a nostalgic thing. You look back at these people and you're like, we weren't one of those people, but many, you know, so many Christmas cards you get with all the matching
the whole outfits. Family.
Yeah, with like the nine four. People.
And they were always plaid. Yeah. Always wearing matching plaid.
Or white. I've seen a lot of white. Like on a beach.
Like the Source family.
Yeah.
I will say that like now, like if I'm going somewhere, for example, we all went out last Saturday together, the Vanix and me and my partner. And I got dressed.
You mean Bill and I and you guys?
And Jack. Oh, and Jared. He's a van.
Honestly,
know.
It's like it's the Vanix, the six best friends that we've ever had.
Like there's never been a more like able group.
I said,
like,
we're now part of your friend group.
That's right.
No, you literally are.
But the point is that I got ready and then Matt was like, what do I wear? Here's my options. And we literally just found the one that looked best with my clothes. Like that was our, like, how do we look cute? Not that we
ever
take photos because we always like, we're not the couple, like we're always literally living in the moment. I feel like
Matt is taking photos of you because he's a great photographer. And of Jared, if you're listening, you could use a fucking note from Matt.
No, he actually takes photos of everyone and then sends the album the next day, which is super nice. But like we match clothes thinking we're going to get a photo and it just doesn't happen. Cause like, I'm not a social media, like, it's not on my brain and he isn't, but like, we want to be that couple.
Yeah.
And I want to be identically dressed. Frankly, that's a secret urge.
It's not that secret. It like exudes from your being.
Obviously,
you
like I
want
to belong. That's so much to ask me. Well, I just want to be part of something important.
There is also a whole time where people, you were talking about the white. That was the beach photo Christmas.
Slash
so everybody dressed in white and was on the beach in Orange County.
It's like I still see those, to be honest. I see those on Facebook. And
it's
stuff.
Like the children of the corn, all blonde, white family with their white tops and their jeans.
I'm gonna
on
do
the
that.
Beach.
I'm gonna do that when I have a kid. When we have our children at the same time.
That was the Christmas photos, and then or else you'd get the Christmas photos where it was the dad first, then the mom.
Oh,
then
and they biggest, were in height succession.
Yeah,
oh my
down
gosh.
In height, and they all had their matching outfits.
And everyone listening has seen these on their fridge growing up. Oh, or you're a mom who planned one of these shoots.
Yes.
Or you're a dad who planned one of these shoots. Yes. Or you're a mom who wants to do one of these shoots this Christmas. And you should.
Honestly, like that, I think that this is a good lesson from you because you're like, I'm not one of those people, but then you look
it's
back
stupid.
On those photos and you're like, they're kind of cute.
They're kind of cute.
So now, like, you know what? Indulge in whatever your heart desires.
Do the crazy photo shoot.
Do the crazy photo shoot.
Do the one like where you're all in the same jammies on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Do a funny one where you're like, where's the baby? And it's like off in a corner and crying. Like do these. I've seen these funny Christmas cards too, where it's like, what's Santa bringing? And there's like a baby in a sack.
Yeah.
Like, right. That's so cute.
Right?
Really cute.
Don't care what anyone thinks. Do your weird photo shoot.
Yeah, do your they're the best.
My niece, she does great photo shoots for Halloween because she does kind of that, but it's not they're dressing alike, but they're dressing in a theme.
Yeah.
So like one year, like they do the Wizard of Oz, and then she's like
we just did a Killing Time on that.
She's like the witch. And,
yeah. No, they always do like they're all different characters from like the same movie kind of a thing.
Well, one thing I want to add in, it's kind of interesting though. Like when you were growing up, right? I took probably 10,000 conventional photographs, right? So those are on film.
More than that.
And plus all the video, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, now the thing, I don't know what made me go off on this tangent, the thing that I find kind of disheartening is that now those memories, right, are captured digitally, which is great. But
is it?
But because everybody can take so many, right, they're disposable.
Yeah.
And they don't really think about it. And it's like, you know, when I would take photographs, right, because I was a big photo buff. And back in the day, I did all my own, you know, development. I did my black and white processing. I did my own printing, both color, black and white, and everything else. You know, there was a lot of thought, a lot of time went into it. And they became much more, at least in my mind, much more valuable. And the thing I think is disheartening nowadays is that, you know, people, you know, it's kind of disposable. It's like, oh, I took 40 pictures and I'll just use one and I'll use it on Instagram, and then it'll scroll by, you know, for a split second, and then, you know, never be seen again.
But Bill,
and
I think we just found you're on the stand if you were still struggling. Because it's like, there should be one film camera, even a cheap one, in every house. I think that's a great, like, thing for people with families and stuff to capture memories, because I think you're right. I think people are so much more deliberate with film.
Yeah, or yeah. even just, there's something, I don't know, for me, there's something just kind of magical about a photograph that's either, you know, been nicely printed and is in a frame or in a photo book or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when you're looking at your phone, you know, you're just scrolling right past it. It's like, you know, your mind hasn't even taken the time to absorb anything, you know, even the motion behind it. Just
photos come and go now.
Right.
Well, I mean, think about this is very special to you too, because the way that you would think about a photo, it's like you take a photo, you take the one photo in your analog camera, and you are taking so much time to develop it in the dark room. And then you're thinking about, my dad like frames his own photos. He's like putting them on a mat and like all this, like you're taking so much time for this one image. Whereas now I took 500 photos to try to get a good bikini photo when I was in Hawaii. And then I don't even fucking look at them. And I might forget to even post it on Instagram because it's like, it's such like a blip in the radar, and it's such a passing
thing. It's throwaway.
Mm-hmm. And it's throwaway. Like where photos used to mean something back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, because I was so into it, there was sort of a learned kind of concept of, you know, photography, of like composition and everything else. And like when I first started doing photography, which was in college, I was doing black and white. And so you really put a lot of thought in as a photographer back then. It's like, okay, I'm framing whatever I'm taking a picture of. I have to kind of transpose the composition, which is in true color, to in your mind black and white, because is this going to look good when it's in black and white? Is going to look horrible, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're focused on composition and contrast, not color, and things like that. And so like you really thought about when you took that photograph, because also you didn't instantaneously see what it was going to look like.
We also have so many so many pictures to take, like the film is finite.
Oh yeah,
know?
And it was expensive, and you couldn't take, you know, you couldn't take a 100 photos or whatever and then instantaneously look at them and go, oh, I got one good one out of 100, which you can now, which is cool. But also the thing, which is, again, is kind of disheartening. It is very, very disposable. And you know, I kind of see that, like, you know, people may have, you know, 10,000 photographs, you know, in the cloud or whatever. It's like, well, cool. You know, have you really taken time to take a look at them and really appreciate them? So anyway.
Totally.
Well, I think that you found you're on the stand accidentally.
And not that guilty. Film is film in the home.
Film, analog cameras are not guilty. I bought like a really cheap Kodak pink camera. It was like $25. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast.
I've seen it on Instagram.
I bought it on Amazon, and I was like, I'm going to take this film camera to Hawaii for that exact reason. Because I'm like, you're going to be deliberate with the pictures that you're going to take. No, I took it to France. Sorry. You're going to be deliberate with the pictures that you're going to take. Like, it's, you got to think of a good moment, right? So it's like, is this moment worth one of my 24 pictures? Because this film costs $35.
Yeah.
And then it costs $30 to get it. It's $70 to develop like 30 pictures, which is crazy.
Crazy.
And you don't even know if they're going to be developed or not.
Or good.
Like, or good. But like, I think that that's like really important, because it's like you're putting so much more care into the moments that you're capturing rather than like taking a million pictures for Instagram.
Well, the photos mean more.
They do.
That's why people love Polaroids, even though they're big and cumbersome. It's like people love a Polaroid because it's so authentic.
Well, it's just funny, like the full circle that we've made in our lives, in our lifetime.
I think say it's guilty because,
oh no,
you know,
yes,
when Dad used to take the pictures, it would take forever, and I was always so happy when you were born, Jacqueline, because it shifted from
you to
me to having to take the pictures. To you being in the pictures.
And you were just a little baby worm. Right. And you could sit there for the pictures as long as he needed.
Right. Did you not like being his muse?
No.
You didn't?
No. Because it took forever.
But the pictures, dude,
Listen, we keep talking about Bill's precision. He doesn't mess around, this Bill Vanek. Right.
I don't know.
Literally took forever.
No, I don't know if you've seen the pictures that my dad took of my mom, probably before I was born. They're fucking gorgeous.
Great, yeah.
But they took forever.
But you don't look back on those being like, wow.
Look how hot I am.
And like, just like, it's like a work of art. Like my dad really is truly one of the most creative and artistic people I've ever known in my entire life. Like those pictures are They're beautiful. Literally a work of art.
I mean, I like looking at them now, but it was like very, very
each one took hours.
Her patience is low.
No, I am not the most patient person.
Move on.
Let's honestly, I think we can all agree. Yeah. You say guilty, but we all say not guilty.
Not guilty.
Sorry, May. Not guilty. Wait, so May, do you have an on the stand?
I do. And I know nobody is going to agree with me, except maybe Bill.
But we love a divisive. But
probably nobody like out there, nobody in the first degree listening.
They
to
might.
It. Okay. My on the stand is using a towel more than one time.
Oh, okay.
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 Okay. That is my first degree. I only use a time.
And
on
yes, a first degree also.
For the first degree. I only use a towel one time.
Gosh.
For one thing. Okay. So in the morning, I get a new face towel.
Okay.
And when I put on my makeup and stuff, I use that. But I also use paper towels because the same thing with you.
I love paper towels.
When I put makeup on and I have to wash my hands, I'm not going to put that on the actual towel.
Well, we were talking about this before we actually started recording.
Right.
So Alexis was talking about how
I waste paper towels like nothing else because I'll like every phase of my makeup routine, I'm like, I can't put on my blush if my hands are covered with foundation. So I like wash my hands between like every layer.
No. And I also
paper towels because I don't want it on my towels either.
I also use a lot of paper towels and so do my parents. And I'm going to make a caveat here that I'm done being gaslit into thinking that I'm the problem for our environmental problems when these corporations are the ones and Kylie Jenner and Taylor
and private
Swift
jets.
Taking their fucking private jets. I will not be shamed for my paper towel usage. And the fact that I don't want to use a fucking paper straw. Anyways, continue.
Okay, so it's not only just the face towels. I'm talking about
whole body
bath towels too.
She does not.
I do not reuse a towel.
I wish. So I'm going to say I am with you. There's nothing like a fresh towel. Ugh. And literally when I was putting the hand towel in the bathroom, I wanted you to see me take it out of the cabinet. I was like, May, you see what I'm doing? I'm putting a fresh hand towel in here. Because I realized I went there to wash my hands and I was like, there's no hand towel in here. And May was in here. And that's then I was like, that's why she was using paper towels.
Mom, exactly. She would have used a paper towel anyways.
I
would have.
But I'm just saying, I clocked you. And I was like, I like a fresh towel too. I will say, since living in Hollywood, my next place where me and Matt are moving into, it will be the first time I have a washer and dryer.
Right.
And
that makes it a lot easier.
Jack does has a washer and dryer in unit, but I don't have a washer and dryer. So like I'm pretty generous with my towel use.
But, okay. So
unfortunately,
you know, wait, I'm going to also preface this with my parents are germaphobes.
We are.
They were germaphobes before COVID. COVID, yes. I think, feel like has exacerbated your germophobia.
Yes.
So this is, you are those type of people to, there's a little bit of an OCD thing with germs.
There is. And I, you know, it started really when I went to college and I took 4 years of microbiology. So, you know, during that class,
like
you have
bacteria
to.
Bacteria. Right. Everywhere. Cultures.
You have to test different things. Like we test the doorknobs. We test elevator buttons.
Water.
And all this stuff.
Well, imagine now testing your phone with all the shit that's on your phone.
So you're disgusted.
Like literal shit.
You're disgusted 99% of the time. Like you just see things constantly that you're like, there's so many cultures on that.
It's so gross. So we would like, you know, you'd put the swab on the agar and it would grow and you'd see like, you know, salmonella's on there, E. coli's on there, all this stuff's on there. So like when you're wiping your face.
You're wiping it with your butt.
Well, that's a whole different thing. But your face, you're wiping like all the dead skin cells. You're wiping, you know, any mites you have on your face. Anything is on there. Pus, maybe from a pimple, is going on that towel. And then people are actually reusing that towel
over and over
again on their face.
What's your stance on pillowcases?
It's kind of the same thing.
You got to wash up pillowcases a lot?
Yeah, but not as much as the towel. Towel is you're really like wiping your face with it.
How disgusted are you that sometimes I wipe my face off with Jared's towel?
That is disgusting. That is so
you
gross.
You are repugnant, Jacqueline.
But here's the thing.
That makes me want to puke.
She's nauseated.
But here's the thing. It's the same thing as you. You don't have a washer dryer in your unit.
But you do.
I have no space. So the amount of towels that we have are very limited. We maybe have 5 towels total.
Oh my.
There are two May people.
May is going to have a conniption.
There are two people that live in our apartment. So
that's why God invented paper towels.
I can't wipe my body off of after a body, the shower with a
honestly,
paper towel.
This okay. is us rallying no. for body sized paper towels.
This is us rallying for body. Oh my God. That's such a good invention.
It is a great invention.
Wait, that's a fucking genius invention.
Honestly.
Holy shit.
Maybe we should cut this out of the podcast.
Trademark?
Yeah. Patent pending.
No, but like I don't have room. You know, I have no room in my apartment. So we only have X amount of towels. There's two people living there. Unless I am doing laundry for towels every single day and you know I'm busy, I can't have a new towel every day when I wash my body in the shower.
That's why you have somebody like Dad who does laundry 24/7.
Well, honestly, but here's another thing. My dad is a little obsessed with doing laundry.
He is obsessed
wait,
with it.
But I have a solution.
No, wait a second. I have to defend myself on that. So all the time, May, well throughout, you know, how long have we been married? What, 78 years? She would always go, are you doing laundry again? I'd be like, yeah, duh, because you go through 3 towels every single day. And if I don't do laundry like every other day, there's going to be a pile of laundry that's going to like literally go from the ground up to the ceiling.
So maybe you're not obsessed with doing laundry.
Maybe May is.
No, he is.
It's the germ obsession with the laundry obsession. You feed into each other.
You guys are a perfect little situation. Wait, but I have a solution to the paper towel, body size paper towel, puppy pads. A clean puppy pad is like a human-sized paper towel.
Oh, you're not
just wrong.
Just rebrand it, and it's
or those
perfect.
Things at the doctor's office they pull down, to cover the thing.
They just need to be like a little thicker.
You know, Bounty, if you're listening,
like
I'll license this idea to you.
This is honestly genius.
I know.
Okay.
Well, okay. So when you use you use a bath towel. Okay, so you use it.
Sure.
Maybe you're doing your hair. So you dry your hair off with it. You're drying your face off with it. Then you're drying your body. I have a specific like order I go in to dry myself
face
off.
Top to bottom.
Based on germs that might be lurking
face,
within.
Hair should go last, I think.
No. Not face.
You don't want your butthole on your head.
But has its own oils and stuff that you don't like.
No, hair is clean and your scalp is clean.
Face first.
Hair.
Do you do hair, face?
Hair.
No, I heard hair should never go before face because there's oils in your hair.
Yeah.
No. So face, hair, then body.
You do hair before face?
I do my hair.
See, I think face first.
No, I do my face first and then my hair.
Oh, yeah. Then body.
Face, hair.
Then my body. Then my, you know, then my legs.
and
then
beyond
the
nether regions. The nether regions. And then my feet are last.
I don't dry my feet. My feet are neglected.
No, I don't dry my
feet. Okay, so after you've done all that and you are actually drying your butt off, you're drying your crotch off, you're really going to go back the next day and now use that towel on your face again?
Unfortunately, if I haven't had time to do laundry, I have no, I'll be honest.
Ew.
No. Her and Jared
are very close.
Ew.
No, when I do not have time to do laundry to get a clean towel, I do wipe my face off with paper towels, but I will reuse my body towel on my body.
All right, I got to jump in, okay? Here's an idea.
I'm going to refill my drink.
Hold on a second. Here's an idea, right? A new product idea?
What?
2 different tones on towels. So then when you're drying yourself off, it's on the white side, right? And then you can use the dark side
the nether
the next
regions.
Day.
Well, they do have
or
that for
the
makeup.
Next day. For the next day.
Okay, so here is a study from Time magazine that they did an article about like 5 years ago. They said, after about 2 days, if you dry your face on a hand towel, you're probably getting more E. coli, which is from poop.
Yeah.
On your face than if you stuck your head in a toilet and flushed it.
Well, is that because your face towel is sitting in the bathroom?
It's because it's sitting in the bathroom.
Getting
the
poop.
Bathroom is like moist and wet, you know, generally.
But it's less from wiping your face twice and it's more from living in the bathroom.
No. Well, not unless you completely dry it and bleach it. Then maybe the bacteria comes off.
But okay.
They said that, you know, you can also get MRSA from, which is a staph infection,
mm-hmm.
from towels sitting there, like breeding all this bacteria.
Okay. So I think the lesson that we've learned is try to wash your towels as much as you can within reason of your constraints.
One time use. Other than that, I'm not going to wipe my face with a towel that wiped my butt the previous day.
That is a podcast quote right there.
Sorry.
I love it. Okay.
Got to put that on a t-shirt.
Okay, so single-use towels. You're saying not guilty.
Not guilty.
What, Dad?
Not guilty.
I'm going to say not guilty if I could do it.
I'm going to say if you have the resources. Yeah. I think that's everyone's dream. I once heard Britney Spears only wore a pair of underwear once. And I'm like, I think... I'm not sure, but I think was the implication. I think everyone wants like a towel warmer cabinet where they only use it once before, you know, I think that's the dream. In this old Hollywood apartment, I've been using like ass towels probably, which is not great, but that's my
ass
mom.
Ass to face.
No.
Ass to face.
Oh my God.
Have you been using Jared's after he's home from a long day at tour, Jacqueline? What do you think? I'm alone in this?
Oh, we got to finish the section.
Anyways.
Okay. I will never use the ass to face towel.
Not guilty.
Okay. Well, we have gone so over. So instead of doing our true crime rewind, we're going to go straight into
the worsty firsties.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't. And the RealReal makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the RealReal, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Hey parents! Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Get ready for a quadruple judgment, my friends.
Oh my God.
Or a glass half full response.
You never know.
On to the first one.
Hi, this is my worsty-firsty. This is something that eats at me all the time. So I was a hairdresser for 10 years after having my children. And it was right after I graduated from high school. I went to a vocational school. So I was only 18 when I started. And I worked at a very nice salon. But it wasn't like a nice enough salon to put you through a training program before putting you on the floor. So I was just all in. But I loved my job. However, one of my first haircuts, I guess it was one of my first, like, shorter, like, cute little pixie haircuts, just, you know, give it that little fringy look, and I cut a hole in the back of her head. Like, there was no hair in an entire hole in the back of her head. It was so bad. I didn't know what to do. I didn't say anything about it. I did not turn her around so that she could see what her hair looked like. I was hoping that none of my coworkers saw it. And I sent this woman out the door. She paid me for her haircut, tipped me, and I sent her out the door with a freaking hole in the back of her head. And she had dark hair, and you could see that shit. Anyways, I often think about that woman. I'm so glad I do not remember what her face looks like because I live in a smallish town and I'm sure I have ran into her since then. Anyways, that's it. Now that I got it off my chest, I've never said it to anyone. Poor woman. Thanks. Bye.
So I'm going to start by saying,
oh my God,
I'm going to go glass half full with you before we go to the dark place.
Okay.
Maybe no one told her. You didn't. Your coworkers didn't. Like, maybe she's a single gal. Maybe, like, her coworkers aren't her friends. Like, maybe no one told her and she never knew. So if you run around town and run into her, if she doesn't seem angry, like, maybe she's not. Maybe she doesn't know.
This is, I love that you called in because I always wonder about this when you see TikToks or Instagram posts of people with, like, the most botched haircuts and dye jobs and, like, honestly, it happened to me once. And you're just like, who was the person that did this? And I'm like, you were.
You.
And this is how you felt. So I feel like I have an insider's knowledge into the mind of the person that fucked up
the
haircut.
And they don't feel good.
No, they don't feel good. And she's like, this is why every time I get my hair done and I look into the science it takes somebody, especially with dye, I'm like, dude, I don't envy your job because this is a very hands-on job. So many things could go wrong. And hair is such an important part of everybody's life. Like, it really means a lot
of pressure.
And you can fuck up so easily. So, like, I would never want that pressure upon myself. So this is, I guess, the telltale story of when it goes wrong.
How did this woman never go back to tell her?
How did she not be cared?
Well, this must have been like before internet mobs, because you would have had like a Yelp storm ring down on you if it was the time of Yelp. But I would say if I were you, you're a better person than me. Like, I'm a Slytherin. I would have like darkened that spot with some dye. I would have darkened that spot with a Sharpie. I would have like filled it in, be like, no one's going to know. And if I can pull this off for the day, tomorrow they'll think they did it.
Yeah,
they'll think it was something else, like a Lyme's disease or like, you know, a stress thing. Like, you just got to get him through a couple of days and it'll never fall back on you. But like, I know that's a horrible thing to say, but like, Slytherin mind, it's like, yeah, loophole finder.
Yeah,
the customer is probably a huff and puff.
Yeah, Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
Honestly, a huff and puff is what customers, unhappy customers, are though. They're huff and
they're
puffs.
They're huff and puffing. Yeah. My dad has something to say as a
he really is
bald,
dying
as a bald man.
There was a show called the HR Puff and Stuff, so that's what I was thinking.
Okay, dad. Puff and Stuff. We got to make that a thing. Puff and Stuff.
Puff and Stuff.
So she missed the opportunity. She could have tried to get herself out of it because she could have done something like, I'm sure initially when
she sliced the hair back here.
No, she could have done something like, Like,
you should see a doctor.
Quickly think and go, why not do something like, oh my God, there's a rat, right? Or whatever. And then, you know, and then have the good lady stand up and then like hold what, you know, whatever that razor was to her head and go, oh my gosh, rat. I can't believe that happened. And it's like, oh, not my fault.
Wow, that is creative.
But then you're throwing the salon under the bus with a rat infestation.
And then honestly, there's probably like a video and then it like shows your whole thing and then you're in trouble.
In modern times, yes. But it sounds like this was before that. So whatever it is, you feel bad about it. And that's good.
I just love this inside knowledge.
I just can't believe the customer never came back.
I know.
That is crazy.
I'm shook.
I love that for her because she is a woman who just takes it in stride.
Yes.
We're going to just leave you all with the Costanza stanza, which I'm sorry. It's another clip. I was so immersed in the Vanix that my poetic, creative vision just didn't come together.
That's
so
okay.
We're going to leave you with a Costanza.
We love the clips.
Bye, everyone. Woo.
Welcome back. Pretty quick for a catered affair.
I don't know what you mean.
You ditched me. That's twice. Now I demand to know what's going on. George, we've had it with you. Understand, we love you like a son. But even parents have limits.
The breakups, the firings, and every Sunday with the calls.
What my wife is trying to say is this is supposed to be our time.
I'm not following.
I'm sorry, George. We're cutting you loose.
You're cutting me loose?
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to make love to your mother.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.